Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, September 19, 2016. And as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a success. Well, ladies, I pray that you all had a productive weekend and that you spent some time again, joy pampering yourself and spending time with the ones you love. Well, I certainly hope that you are ready to be the driver of your success vehicle. And of course, you do this in two very important ways. By properly planning out your success journey, you're going to be, number one, focusing on the business goals for yourself every week, and then making the necessary changes to move towards positive results. Remember, you are the leader of your business. You are the CEO, and it all begins with you. Well, ladies, as you know, all this month, September has been a good theme for talking about developing a successful mindset. You know, as we move towards the end of the year and we start talking about the new year and things that we're going to do. And a lot of people plan their New Year's resolution and get so excited every January, February timeframe. But the important thing for a businesswoman is that you must always be planning and coming up with a strategic plan for your business. You always have to make sure that you're thinking ahead and being a proactive businesswoman. And that's one of the things that we talked about in our implementation mindset group, mastermind group, on last Thursday. We talked about the importance of being a leader and why it's so important that as a businesswoman in particular, that you not keep yourself in the labor role of your business. Sometimes when you're working in the business and not on the business, and you're in the labor role of your business, it can cause you to develop a habit of being more comfortable in the labor role than in any other role in your business. And of course, you guys have heard me talk about the three most important roles that any business must have, regardless of how small or how large. And they include, number one, labor technician, number two, manager, and number three, entrepreneur visionary. And those three roles have to be mapped out. You have to figure out what those three roles mean for your business. And so as we talk about all this month developing a successful mindset, it's so important to take on that mindset of leadership, to take on that mindset of authority. And so today's subtopic is going to be all about just that, accepting responsibility for your business success. And we're going to talk about exactly what does accepting responsibility mean. Does it mean that we're to accept the blame or the fault for when things aren't going right? Well, no, not necessarily. You know, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. So it's very, very important that you get your pen and notepad out or your Successful Woman Radio Journal and you start to take some good notes on what you're hearing today. Remember, as you hear me share tips and nuggets and strategies for improving your business, the number one thing that you can do to get really great benefits from listening to the show is to go back over your notes. Schedule some time to go back over your notes and say, you know, how can I implement this in my business? Or how can I apply this? Is there any relevancy to my business, to what I am dealing with right now, which is so very, very important? We've got a great show lineup scheduled for you today, 5 questions to help you take control in 2016. And then, of course, we've got a great book excerpt, Your Roadmap for Success by John C. Maxwell. And today we're going to be reading from page 31, Stages for Developing a dream. Again, stages for developing a dream. And I'm going to be sharing with you upcoming events and happenings going on over at Women About Biz. So again, ladies, make sure that you take your pen and your notepad out. This is such a great time also to flash over on another line and to share the show, today's live broadcast, with at least one other woman that you know needs motivation, needs encouragement. She needs uplifting and to know that it's okay to be successful. It's okay to have dreams and goals. It's okay to be wealthy, and it's okay to be the leader of your business, the designer of your success. It is 12:05 after the hour, and for those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show, and I'm Trina Newby, CEO of Women About Biz and your business success coach. I want to go ahead and move right on into our five take control questions. As you know, I ask these questions every Monday, because I know that they're going to help you. And each year I come up with a new theme and a new group of questions that I know when you ask them of yourself as often as you need to or every day, that you're going to make some changes. You're going to begin to see and get more clarity on where you need to be in your business. And that's what these five take control questions actually do. So here's question number one. Am I clear on my business goals this week? Again, am I clear on my business goals this week? Well, I recommend, again, that every Sunday evening, you really get your planner out, get your journal out if you have your business journal, and really look at what it is that you want to accomplish by Friday of this week or of the week that you're in. Asking yourself that question will help you to immediately focus on what's priority and what you should be doing. And then the next thing, question number two, have I identified the task necessary to accomplish my goals? Well, that's going to be very important because those are your actionable items, your to-do items that help to support the goals that you're trying to accomplish that week. And so if you don't have the right task listed in your time slots on your planner, then guess what? Nothing is going to get done. So you have to make sure that you've identified all of the actionable items that are necessary for you to accomplish your goal for the week. Here's number three. Am I being the leader of my business? Again, am I being the leader of my business? You know, that is a very broad question, I admit, but it's going to mean different things to different women. You know, whereas one listener might hear that and just automatically consider being the leader as being the person in charge, and one person may look at it and have a whole nother definition for herself. I think the most important thing here is that each businesswoman has to define what leadership means to her business and the business industry that she is in. I think it's also important that every businesswoman have a position description for herself as the CEO of her company, because you need to have direction as well. It's kind of like, I'm my own boss, but who's guiding me? You know, what direction do I have? What are my responsibilities? What are the roles that I should be playing in my business? And what are my day-to-day tasks that I should be following up and following through on? And so, again, what I often discover is that most home-based and micro business owners do not have a position description. And, you know, my motto is, be your business small or large, you're responsible for making that business successful. And so, therefore, everybody needs to have a position description. Here's number four. Am I following through on leads, opportunities, calls, and emails? Now, these four things, again, leads, opportunities, calls, and emails, these four things happen when a very important methodology is being practiced in your business. And what is that? Marketing. When you are properly marketing your business, things will happen frequently, consistently throughout the fan of your business, or they should be. Now, when they are not happening, when you're not receiving leads, when you're not receiving opportunities, when you're not getting calls or emails, and maybe they're sporadic, happening every now and then you know it's important for you as the leader of your company to go back to the drawing board and to figure out, why is that? Perhaps I need to revamp my whole entire marketing plan, or perhaps I don't know everything there is to know about marketing my business, and I need to seek the assistance of a marketing consultant. I need to make sure that I am on the pulse beat of my target audience and that I know who my target audience is. So very, very important. One thing that I have learned about marketing is that no matter how good your marketing materials look, no matter how much money you spend on advertising, online or offline, no matter how good your promotional campaigns are, if they are not targeted to the right group of people that best fit for your type of product or service, it is moot point. It's meaningless, because if you're not marketing to the right people, guess what? Nothing happens. And so marketing, of course, is the lifeblood of our business. If we don't get people attracted to who we are, what we offer, then how are we to close any sales, right? So it's going to be important for you to pay attention to this one, and ask yourself and be brutally honest with yourself about whether or not you're receiving a good amount of leads, opportunities, calls, and emails. If not, back to the drawing board you go. Here's number five. Am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Again, am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Two sets of numbers that I'm always talking about with this question. The first set of numbers that I'm talking about is really all about your cash flow analysis for your the current numbers that are in your business. And that represents the money coming in and the money going out. What are those numbers telling you? What improvements need to be taken with those numbers that you're seeing? And then the second set of numbers that I'm referring to in am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth, those are your numbers that are represented in your business checking account. When you look at your checking account statement, or when you call in or look online, do those numbers reflect the success of your business? You know, a lot of women stray away from the topic of money. A lot of women have a tendency to also stray away from wanting to look at their checking account if they feel that the numbers in there aren't representative of what they want. They hide. They run away from it. But you really need to, if the numbers are too low in your account, they're definitely not representing where you want to be, then you need to allow that to use that as fuel to really do something about it, to really revamp your marketing, to really figure out what is the best way to generate prospects, leads for prospects, and to close the sale. So very, very important, okay? You know, it's keeping focused on your goals and knowing the results that you want to see and being willing to ask yourself important take control questions. That's what it's all about on the journey of business. There is no perfectionism here. There is no one way to success, but each of us have our own success DNA, and each of us must follow, right? Must follow the recipes that we have created and fine-tune them until they are yielding the right type of success that we are seeking. It is 12:13 after the hour, and for those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show, and I'm Trina Newby, your host and business success coach. I want to go ahead right now and talk about something that's very, very important for you this season as we're coming up with the holidays, and that is, how are you preparing your business to take advantage of the holiday season? It's so very, very important that you take advantage of the holiday season and that you know that whether you have a service business or whether you actually have a product business, everyone in some way can take advantage of the holiday. It's the biggest season, and it actually starts between September and January. So that's quite a bit of time. That's about 5 months of being able to promote and piggyback off of the holiday. Now, from my understanding, online purchases are skyrocketing, going through the roof. Okay, so people have really become conditioned to online selling. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you on, first of all, is to create a holiday plan, because can't just, you know, shoot from the cuff and just start doing things without having really a good strategy. So that's very, very important. So right now, what I want to do is I want to give you some tips on creating your holiday plan and figuring out how you're going to be marketing your business. Now, let's first of all get the elephant out of the room, because sometimes you might be thinking to yourself that my business is not compatible with the holiday, or, you know, I have a service business. How would that really fit in with the holiday season? But here's what you need to know. I personally think that all businesses can capitalize off of the holiday market. I really, really do. But the first thing, as I said before, is that you must have a strategy for the holiday season, okay? The second thing that I think is very important is that you know the end results that you would like to see, okay? Now, most people can pretty much gauge whether or not through previous seasons, whether they make more money during the holiday season or whether they make less money during the holiday season. But you need to know what the end results are that you want. Do you want to promote a special service or a different type of product during the holiday season? If you have a service business, do you want to figure out how you might be able to talk about gift certificates and other things that people can purchase? So how are you going to market your business during the holiday season? So you must know the end results, the how, okay? Very, very important. And the how includes, right, product and service ideas, deep discounts. And when I say deep discounts, I'm not talking about 10 or even 20%. I'm talking about anywhere between 25 and 50% deep discounts, so that you can truly market and have some leverage over larger retailers that people might be flocking to online. So it's very, very important that you understand that the purpose a lot of the times is not only to make money, but it's also a good time to expose people to your products, to your services. It's a great time to gain loyal customers, new customers. So you can use it in many ways when you know the end results. And then the third thing you must do is that once you know the end results, then you have to determine what to do to bring about your service or your product offerings. In other words, you know, do you need any new graphics work for your service or products, right? Do you need to take any pictures of your products to get them up? Do you need to create perhaps a single page on your website for holiday specials, right? So you've got to determine how that's going to play out. And then after you determine, you know, what products or services you're going to be promoting, whether or not you need any graphic services, you need to develop an additional page on your website, then the next thing that you need to look at is then how to generate interest, which is, you know, marketing. How are you going to generate interest for your specials, for your products, or for your services, okay? And you need to really, really get creative with this for the holiday season. You know, think about things that maybe you've not tried before from a marketing perspective. Look at different types of promotional campaigns. So next week, I'll be talking about different types of promotions that you can use to market your business from a holiday perspective. But hopefully these items will give you an idea of how you start putting together your holiday plan and what you need to start doing to capitalize off of this festive season as people spend during this time of the year than any other. And remember, whatever you plan, it must include an online strategy. So very, very important. One of the things that we are doing at Women About Biz to help our members and other business women who really are in need of pushing and marketing their products is that for those women that actually have products, and that's very important, that really play in well with the holiday season, well, we're creating a Christmas or a holiday catalog online at Women About Biz. And I'm very, very excited about it. And we hope to debut this Christmas catalog around October, between October 15th and 20th. So we're getting very excited about it. And we'll be putting more information up about that on the Women About Biz website. So if you have a product, whether you're in direct sales or traditional business, if you have a product or 2 to 3 products that you think would work well for women for the holiday season or make great gift items for the holiday season, then you might definitely be interested in our Women's Holiday Catalog. So again, that's going to be coming up, and we're going to be sharing more and more information about being successful during the holiday season, creating your holiday plan. So very, very important. 12:21 after the hour, and you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. Ladies, I want to share with you a few ways that you can listen to Successful Woman Radio. First of all, I'm not sure if you have been to our website, successfulwomanradio.com, but when you go to the website, if you've missed any episode of our show, you can listen to the broadcast by looking right over in the right-hand column, and the previous broadcasts are listed there for you conveniently. All you need to do is select the one you want and click on the play button, right? And if you want to listen from your smart device and your telephone, just bring up your internet, go to successfulwomanradio.com, and then click on play from your phone or from your notepad or iPad, and you will be able to listen at your convenience wherever you are. So I want to make sure I tell you about that. Also, there is an app that you can use to keep up with Women About Biz as well. Now, it's not proprietary with us, but you can go to Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, Stitcher, and download the app Stitcher. And then in the search, look for Women About Biz. Look for Successful Woman Radio. I apologize. And when Successful Woman Radio comes up, then make that your favorite. And that way you'll get notifications on your phone. You'll be able to listen to the show, again, conveniently from your telephone. So make sure that you mark your calendar for every Monday at 12 noon Eastern. But also know that if you miss the show or can't make it, then you know that you can go back and listen to our previous broadcast. I also want to let you know about some things that are going on over at Women About Biz. We're very, very excited about a lot of stuff that is happening. Tomorrow, we have the Busy Woman Virtual Networking event that will be occurring. That's led by Teresa Wright Johnson. And our speaker for tomorrow during the Busy Woman's Virtual Networking is Andrea Holyfield, who is a life coach, speaker, and a transition specialist. Now, she's going to be talking about something that has a different spin on it. It's called managing your portfolio career, right? You know, she says the idea of work is changing and people are looking for creative ways to develop multiple streams of income. So she says sometimes that means starting your own business and sometimes it requires you to do a side hustle. But many ladies are having success with what she terms as a portfolio career. So learn what that is more about and tips to success for yourself. So check out Busy Woman's Virtual Networking. Now, you can go do, if you type in that domain name, busywomanvirtualnetworking.com, it will take you directly to the right spot. Or you can go to womenaboutbiz.com, hold your mouse over events, and then select Busy Woman Virtual Networking from the drop-down menu. Just a little bit more about our Busy Woman's Virtual Networking event. If you ever said you didn't have time to attend many live networking events and you would like to, but your schedule just hasn't been working out, then Busy Woman's Virtual Networking really could be a great fit for you. Now, here's how it works. You'll dial in using a phone number and access code that we provide to you after you register. And once on the line, you'll be greeted by our event host, and each participant, that's right, each participant will get 2 to 3 minutes to introduce herself. Now, after the event, usually within 24 to 48 hours, guess what? You're going to receive a contact database already prepared for you in Microsoft Excel of all of the contacts that have participated in the Busy Woman's Virtual Networking. So you'll get their first and last name, their email address, their phone number, perhaps their social media link, their website information. So you're going to get all of that. So you don't even have to do the work. You know, normally when you go to a live networking event, you get business cards. You have to come back and database them. Of course, as you know, sometimes procrastination seeks in, and before we know it, we've got a stack of cards on our desk, right? Well, this isn't that way with Busy Woman Virtual Networking. We take care of the grunt work. We take care of the busy work for you by making sure that everybody's name and information is databased, and then you receive a copy. So again, the next event is coming up on tomorrow, Tuesday, September 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check it out. It could be the best hour and a half you've ever spent in networking and sharing and promoting what you do. Again, go to womenaboutbiz.com. Hold your mouse over events and select Busy Woman Virtual Networking. I also want to share with you about a couple of things with our business Women's Night Out events. If you or anyone that you know is in the Charlotte area, Women About Biz now has created a chapter in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, and we're so excited to be there. And of course, we hold a business Women's Night Out event there every first Thursday of the month. And so again, if you are in and around the Charlotte, North Carolina area, or you know someone that is, make sure you let them know to go check it out. And to do that, you just simply go to womenaboutbiz.com, hold your mouse over the topic city locations in the top menu bar, and select Charlotte Business Women's Night Out or Charlotte Women About Biz, and you will go to the Charlotte section and see all of the happenings going on in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our next networking event there is October 6th. Also happening here in the Metro Atlanta area, we have the Lithonia Business Women's Night Out. That is going to occur on Monday, September 26th. And then we also have the McDonough Business Women's Night Out and the College Park Business Women Night Out happening on September 27th. And so, again, we've got a lot of wonderful networking events going on in and around the Atlanta area as well as Charlotte, North Carolina. But if you're in a different city or state, and you're interested in hosting your own networking event, but you don't want to do it all by yourself, you're looking for a good structure, you're looking for training, then consider becoming a Business Women's Night Out host in your local community. And you can learn more about that by simply, again, going to womenaboutbiz.com, hold your mouse over programs, and then select Business Women's Night Out. Once you get there on that channel, you will be able to see information on becoming a Business Women's Night Out host. And we're currently looking for women who are not shy. You must love networking. You must like being outgoing. And it must fit in with your natural element of who you are. If you love talking to a lot of people, you are connecting with a lot of women in the first place, you love going to networking events, then this is something that would really work out well for you. So make sure that you check out being a Business Women's Night Out host. Very, very wonderful program. Also want to remind you about our Her Dream Startup program, which is we are now accepting applications, and this is a scholarship-based program. And, of course, we want you to check it out at Her herdreamstartup.org. Again, herdreamstartup.org. So whether you really have been in business for a couple of years and you need to get a refresher course and you need to just get back to the basics, or whether you know someone that is starting a business and needs training, this is an excellent online self-paced program, I think most of the people that have taken it have absolutely loved it, and we are fine-tuning, making it better as the months go on, and we're adding more and more resources. So definitely check out herdreamstartup.org. It is 12:30, 30 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I want to go ahead right now, and I want to read to you from our book club book of the month, Your Roadmap for Success, right? And just to give you a little bit of information about what the book is about, okay? The author, John Maxwell, says, defining success is a difficult task sometimes. Most people equate it with wealth, power, and happiness. But true success, he says, is not a thing you acquire or achieve. Rather, it is a journey you take your whole life long. Isn't that the truth? He says, in this book, he's sharing unique insights into what it means to be successful, and he reveals a definition that puts genuine success within your reach, yet motivates you to keep striving for your dreams. So by reading this book, you're going to know your purpose in life. After reading it, you'll know how to figure that out, grow to your maximum potential, and sow seeds that benefit others. And again, the book is Your Roadmap for Success, and I highly recommend it to anyone that is wanting to be a leader of her business, and she's truly wanting to step into her CEO visionary role. I'm going to be reading for you today from page 31, Stages for Developing a Dream. Okay, the author says, over the years, I've learned a lot about vision and what it means to have a dream because it's such a critical part of leadership. I've observed that there is a big difference between those who dream and those who make their dream come true. As Nolan Bushnell, founder of Atari, said, everyone gets an idea in the shower, but the successful ones get out of the shower, dry off, and do something about it. He says there are stages for developing your idea, for developing your dream. He says, number one, he says the whole process begins with the seed of an idea, a vision that grows out of a heartfelt desire. Many people discover their dream in a flash of insight after working in an area for years. Some receive it during a time of prayer. Others are motivated by an event from their past. He says, maybe you've already experienced the I thought it stage and discovered your dream. But if you haven't, he says, these five steps will help you to clear away the clutter and discover or fine-tune the dream you already have. So number one, he says, is believe in your ability to succeed. No person can consistently perform in a manner that is inconsistent the way she sees herself. You must believe that you can succeed if you are to succeed. You must acknowledge to yourself that you are capable of discovering your dream in order to find it. You don't have to be a genius, lucky, or rich. You just need to believe it can happen. And, you know, I totally agree with him on that. And we talked about belief and how important belief really is during the first Monday of this month, as we covered developing your success, your successful mindset. And so belief is very important, because sometimes businesswomen never ask themselves, what do I believe in, or what do I believe about my ability to achieve success? So it's very important that you include belief in the recipe. Here's number two. He says, get rid of your pride. Well, isn't that the truth? People full of themselves usually don't have much room left over for a life-changing dream. That's why it's important to get rid of pride. It can keep you from trying new things or asking questions because you are afraid of looking stupid. It makes you want to stay in your comfort zone instead of striving for the end zone. Pride puts your focus on appearance instead of potential, and it prevents you from taking risks, something you must do to discover your dream. If you are prideful, it's time to let go of your pride and grab hold of your dream. Ladies, this part is very, very important because, yes, as women, we have our more than our fair share of pride. We care a lot about how other people look at us and what other people will think. And I know that this is a detriment sometimes to our success. But when you are ready to be a leader, a true designer of your success, pride has no place in that. You must be willing and ready to admit your weaknesses so that you can meet people who have strengths that can come in and help you for the areas that you lack. And so it's so important for you to get rid of your pride. And also as a side note, I like to tell a lot of my clients when they're talking about, you know, why their business isn't growing and that type of thing, I always like to tell them that, but remember that it's not about you. It's about the customer. It's about what they want. It's about how they perceive your products or service. I don't care if you feel you have the best website in the world or if your product is the best thing since sliced bread. You think that, but do the customers think that? So a lot of the times pride can stop us from seeing new creative and innovative ways to improve our business so that we can soar, so that we can succeed and thrive in business. Do need to get out of the way. Back to the book excerpt on number 3, he says, cultivate constructive discontent. He says, discontent is the driving force that makes people search for their dreams. Think about it. Every invention registered in the United States Patent Office is the result of creative discontent. Each inventor, not satisfied with something as it was, found a way to constructively overcome her dissatisfaction, either by creating something new or by improving what already existed. The same is true for you. Complacency never brings about success. You must desire positive change, and only constructive discontent will motivate you to find your purpose and grow to your reach, till you reach your potential. And then number 4, he says, escape from habit. Well, ain't that the truth, right? He says a habit can be defined as something you do without thinking. And we've talked about the fact that habits are automated, repetitive tasks, right? Habits can kill a dream because when you stop thinking, you stop questioning and dreaming. You begin to accept what is without considering what could be. Habits can cause you to go through the motions rather than think about the possibilities. It slowly closes the door on potential. He says, examine all the things you're currently doing by route. Then shake things up. Look up to your horizon. What do you really care about? What are you currently doing that doesn't propel you in the direction of your purpose, develop your potential, or help other people? Start making changes. Be creative. Break out of a rut and start searching inside of yourself for your dream. You know, I have often said on the show, you know, maybe talking to a specific group of women that might be listening, that if you feel that the business that you're in is not where you want to be, if you have tried really hard with it and you just feel that it's really not what I want, well, it's okay to stop, right? And to change and switch up and to take a long deserved break and to figure out what it is that you want. It's okay. You don't need to worry about what are other people going to think because I've been promoting this business. I've been putting it out there. You need to definitely be thinking about what are you doing to pursue your joy, to pursue something that you can be passionate about. So don't be in business out of habit. Be in business to make money, to be successful, to bless the lives of others, and to fulfill a purpose that you have. And last, in number 5, he says, balance creativity with character. Releasing your creativity to get yourself out of a rut and thinking about your dreams is a basic part of the process of success, but nothing will come of it if you don't have the character to follow through with action. Let me say that again, because that's very, very important. He says, nothing will come of it if you don't have the character to follow through with action. When it comes to dreams, truly successful people have enough creativity to think it out and enough character to try it out. They have enough creativity to picture it in their minds and enough character to produce it with their hands. All the dreaming in the world won't do a bit of good unless you're ready to wake up and go to work. So those are the five areas that he talks about in stages for developing a dream. Number one was believing your ability to succeed. Number two was get rid of your pride. Number three was cultivate constructive discontent. Number four was escape from habit. And number five was balance creativity with character. How important is that? I've just read for you a book excerpt from the book club book of the book of the month, Your Roadmap for Success. You can get there from here, by John C. Maxwell. How about that? Was that powerful or what? And you know, I talk about habits all of the time. As a matter of fact, I've mentioned habits a few times as it pertains to our theme for this month, developing a successful mindset. And so I really want you ladies to go and listen to the previous broadcast if you have not had the opportunity, right? If you have not had the opportunity to listen to the shows, it's conveniently located for you right there at successfulwomanradio.com. And I want you to listen to this month's particular, Developing a Successful Mindset. So very, very important. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about our subtopic as it relates to our monthly theme, which is accepting responsibility for your business success, which is so very, very important. And I thought about that because a lot of people don't accept responsibility, and as a result, they have this tendency to blame anything and everything all outside of themselves, but they don't look within. So I want to talk to you about that. And so I want to start off by saying, you know, ladies, when things aren't working out in your business, your profits are low, your marketing isn't generating interest, and or things are just not working, it's so easy to get discouraged. I have been there, done that on quite a few occasions. But many businesswomen have shared with me that it feels like some outside force doesn't want them to succeed, and that they feel hopeless as how to get the right solutions to actually turn things around. Well, I want to let you know, it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but we all must accept responsibility for our business success. And that means when it's not doing well, in addition to the good times, right? Now, notice, I didn't say that we must accept the blame or it's your fault. No, quite the contrary. You see, responsibility is something entirely different. It means to take ownership, to claim the right to protect, the right to own, right? And so responsibility is something quite different. You know, I shared, I think it was just a year or so ago on the show, and I may have shared it earlier this year as well, but I was in preparation for my book. I'm writing a book called Getting Past Me, Breaking the Belief Barrier, and I've been writing this book for quite a few years. In preparation for the book, I started researching and looking up, you know, why it is that people don't heal, or why is it that people don't believe in themselves in the way that they need to, or why is it that people can't seem to get past themselves? And I ran across something that was very interesting. It was a psychologist who was talking about how they help women who have been molested or raped, how they help them get past the particular situation. And the one thing that they say that they do is that they have to work with the individual to help her to accept the responsibility to heal, to move forward. But the problem is often they say is that when they start bringing up that word, accept responsibility, that often the women take great offense to that because they feel as though the psychologist is asking them to say that it's their fault, that it's something that they did. But that's not what they're asking them at all. And they were saying it's this very thing that blocks not only people who have had something atrocious done to them, but it blocks people who are trying to be successful or live a more abundant or joyful life overall. Because oftentimes, you know, just going back to those women who have been either molested or raped, oftentimes they can't get past what the person has done to them. And they're so angry that they don't want to accept the responsibility for healing. And that's the very thing that they need to accept responsibility for. They need to take ownership and claim their healing and take the control back away from the person that has committed an offense against them, right? But in their minds, because of the play of words, they're thinking, why should I accept responsibility for this? I didn't do this to myself. Well, the same thing goes on with business. Believe it or not, yes, actually, it really, really does. What happens often is that when things aren't going well in a woman's business, oftentimes, she will be very, very upset. And the last place that she's going to look is at herself. She's not really going to look inward towards her inner power, but she's going to look all around her like, somebody needs to help me with that. This. And it's no problem. I think she should think that someone needs to help. But she's also sometimes looking for who she can blame. You know, it's definitely not me. I did everything this book said. I followed the directions of my coach or my consultant. And it's not me. It's this business, or nobody wants services anymore. So I wanted to talk about accepting responsibility because I personally had to face up to the fact that I needed to accept responsibility if my companies were going to be successful, right? And so in doing that, I think it's important for you to really go back and take a look at, you know, what do you think about yourself as a leader? Are you clear on your responsibilities as a leader? And are you actually accepting responsibility for your business? In other words, are you claiming your success? Are you truly believing in who you are and your ability to succeed? And are you stepping up into the leadership role? Now, earlier I had talked about the three roles every business must play, whether small or large. They are laborer, manager, and entrepreneur visionary. Now, just to give you some idea of what these roles do, the laborer technician role is the role that basically puts the gadgets together, makes the gadgets, or provides the end service to the user. The laborer provides that, you know, provides that service. They are the ones that are actually taking care of the current customers at hand. However, women have a tendency to stay in the labor role for a long time. And so this is the number one thing. I'm going to give you five tips that I know will help you to accept responsibility better for your business, okay? So the first one is get out of the labor role, okay? Because it's killing a lot of businesses. Yes, when you are a solo entrepreneur, meaning you are the only person that is, you know, responsible for your business, sometimes you are going to play multiple roles. And yes, you will have to figure out what the right combination or balance is amongst those three roles for your business. But what I am learning all too often is that women have a tendency to keep themselves in the labor role for a long period of time, sometimes for the whole period of time through their business. And as a result, the business doesn't grow. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about people working at a factory. Let's say they're working at a bread factory. And they are, you know, they're working on the factory floor where the ovens and the conveyor belts and everything is. And they are busy having to keep their minds focused on their position, their particular role. You know, you have one person that's making sure that the dough is being mixed properly. You have one person making sure that the bread is being kneaded properly after the dough has been mixed and so on. You've got different people doing different things. But just picture a long floor with a lot of different ovens and conveyor belts and different things, and you see all the people with their white coats and their white hats on, protecting their hair and from germs and stuff flying out on the floor, right? Now, do you think that those people are honestly thinking about how to help that company overall bring in millions of dollars a year? Do you think that they're thinking about how to better market the company and how to promote the company and better position the company and what the third quarter earnings are? You know, things need to be updated on the company's website. We need to create a new script for the sales department. Do you think that the laborers on the floor that are making the end product are thinking about all of that? Of course not. No, they're not. And you can apply this same analogy to your business. When you're working on the labor side of your business, which is working in the business, when if you are on a gift basket business and you're making the gift basket and you're making the gift basket look very beautiful so you can hand the deliverable to your client, the last thing you're really thinking about is how to grow the gift basket business. So what I'm trying to get all of you to see is that you've got to get yourselves out of the labor role. It's not that you have to get yourself completely out of the labor role, because again, if you are a solo entrepreneur or the budget's just not there to hire other people to take that labor role for you, then, you know, you don't have a choice, but you do have a choice to also make sure that you give time to the other two roles. Now, the manager role is responsible for carrying out the vision of the company. They're responsible for carrying out the directives, supervising the labor role, and making sure that certain things are being properly done and followed up on in the company, such as marketing, promotional campaigns, making sure that the laborers are being trained properly, bookkeeping, taxes. The manager in a business, especially a small business, is very, very important. But oftentimes, this role becomes an emergency role for a lot of business women. A good example of that is every year in April when tax season comes, and a lot of business women have not been keeping up with all of their numbers, not keeping up with their receipts, and they're scrambling to find everything so that they can file their taxes. And as a result, they're not taking probably the best deductions that they possibly can. So again, that manager role sometimes becomes the urgent role or the emergency role. And then, of course, you have the entrepreneur visionary role. That role, believe it or not, is the most important role for the business. And the reason why is because that is the visionary role. That role came up with the company idea. That role comes up with giving direction and vision, coming up with new products and services and ways to grow the company. That role is responsible for being the ambassador of the company, and yet that role hardly gets played with a lot of small home-based micro business owners. Most of the time, they are in the labor role. So I want to say, number one, to accepting responsibility for your business success is to get yourself out of that labor role all of the time and start working harder to be in the entrepreneur visionary role, okay? Here's number two in accepting responsibility for your business, and that is to step out of the box, okay? And by stepping out of the box, remember when I just read from the book, Your Roadmap for Success, he talked about balance and creativity, right? And he talked about the fact that you've got to get creative. You've got to step yourself out of the box, but not just step out of the box, but take action. So you've got to start getting creative, stepping outside of your box, and take action on creative ideas and ways to grow your company. So very, very important. The third thing you must do to accept responsibility is to know your role, okay? And this is the one thing that I have learned about being in business is that just because I'm good at consulting people and helping people with their business and coming up with creative ways to grow their business, it doesn't mean that I know how to be in business, right? It doesn't mean that I know how to work on my business. And that's two distinct differences. So you have to understand that, again, it's not all about you. You may be the best baker in the world making the world's greatest cupcakes, but nobody's going to know about those cupcakes if you don't know how to work on the business, if you don't know how to be the right type of leader for your business. So this is where you must understand that while you can look and get inspired from a lot of other people about how they are running their business and what they are doing, it's important that you don't always mimic exactly what someone else is doing without understanding the role required for your particular type of business industry. So you must know your role. You must understand what is expected of you as a business CEO. What is expected of you as a business leader of your particular type of company, right? Very, very important. Because a person who is a manufacturer of roller skates isn't going to necessarily be the same type of leader that is needed, right, for a seminar company. So again, you have to make a decision that you're going to get very serious about developing a position description for your company, that you know the role that you should be playing for your business. You've got to get very, very serious about that. So far we've talked about in accepting responsibility for your business, we've talked about getting out of the labor role, we've talked about stepping out of the box and taking action on what it is that you want to be doing, and then know your role, which is so very, very important. Here is number four, and I think this one is very, very important, okay? Set your sales goals. Everything hinges on sales goals, and yet a lot of women run away from money. I'm not sure why we have that commonality that women are scared to ask what they're worth, or women are scared to talk about money or prices or what have you. As an example, I was talking to someone and I was telling the person that I really liked their product and I would like to purchase some. And I said, so how much does it cost? And she said, well, how much do you want to give me for it? And I looked at her and I said, are you serious? And she says, yeah, how much do you want to give me for? She says, you know, I make these and I like doing it. It's kind of like a hobby. So she began to downplay her business. She began to downplay her importance, her place as a businesswoman, as a CEO. And I said, you've never thought about the price that you want to ask for this item? And she says, no, I just normally just let people give me what they're going to give me. Well, that mindset is not going to get us anywhere, ladies, right? That's not going to take us down the path to having a successful journey, because we need to set our sales goals. We need to be bold and brave and step up to the plate and say, I want to bring in $10,000 a month. I want to bring in $20,000 a month, right? And then when you declare that sales goal, though, that's not the only thing you should be doing. You then should be going back to the drawing board and coming up with a strategy, right, that is going to help you accomplish that sales goal, which is so very, very important. And when you do that, you are accepting the responsibility because you're taking ownership. You're claiming the right to own your business. And the big thing that you need to understand is you are activating your success DNA, which is so very, very important, right? So I want you to understand that, again, accepting responsibility for your business success is not about accepting the blame. It is about claiming the right to your business, claiming the right to be successful, claiming the right to be wealthy and an abundant woman. That's what it really is about. And last but not least, in number five, is accepting responsibility for your business success. Guess what? To thine own self be true, right? Because you can't lie to yourself and then think your business is going to be successful. And believe it or not, we lie to ourselves all the time. We give ourselves false hope instead of real hope. And so to ourselves, we have to be true. If you're not in the business that you want to be in, then take a break and get into the area that you can have passion about. If your business has not been working the way it needs to work, be truthful about that to yourself and talk with someone who can help you. Go to the drawing board and start figuring out what it is that you need to do to turn your business around. Remember, success is yours for the taking, but only if you accept full responsibility, full ownership to that, right? With that said, I want to encourage you to, go ahead and sign up for a free Power Talk, which is a 30 to 45 minute coaching session with me. And let me help brainstorm with you on how to turn things around. Let me help brainstorm with you on how to handle your challenges and how to move forward in your business. Perhaps you need to better plan, better structure, better organize. Perhaps you need to look at your target audience and make sure that you're clear on your target audience. There are many things, many pieces to the recipe, many pieces to the puzzle in being successful in your business. But the one thing I can say for sure, ladies, and that is when you accept responsibility, when you claim your ownership, when you claim the right to be successful, and when you acknowledge that God gave you all of the abilities that you need to be a very powerful and abundant woman, then you will start noticing a new change when you wake up every single day. Well, that's all I have for today. I hope that you have enjoyed the show. If you're not a member of Women About Biz, the first thing you should do is sign up for our free membership. Just go to womenaboutbiz.com and check us out. And I hope that you have enjoyed today's show. Tune next week as we continue with our theme, Developing a Successful Mindset. And make sure that you share the show with a woman that you know needs motivation, needs encouragement, needs recipes to move her life and her business forward. Well, this is your host and business success coach saying success is yours for the taking. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.